those two switches right next to each other. So I basically, what I want to do is I kind of want to continue on with that same message. So my title this morning is God sees you and gives you a new name. God sees you and gives you a new name. So you can turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, and I'm going to read this one from the King James Version. I'll be starting at verse 1. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes," which this is, of course, Jesus and his disciples. "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And then if you will, drop down to verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." So this is one example here in the Bible where we don't know the actual name of this guy. We do know that the demons in him was legion because, you know, that was many. And even though we don't know his name, God knew his name and God saw him and took him and used him mightily. So this is just an example where God sees someone, you know, the world, he was an outcast, you know, he lived among the tombs and the caves, you know, nobody could tame him. Nobody could be around him. Nobody, he wanted, you know, he didn't want anybody around him. Yet God took him and delivered him, you know, set him wide, clothed him in his right mind. And it just shows you what God does. It shows you that God sees people and he gives them a new name, you know. So his name changed from Legion to what, you know, whatever, you know, set free, made his son of a God, but son of a God, you know, a child of God. And then you can go with me to John chapter 4. I'm just going to read a few verses in this one. John chapter 4. John 4, and this is going to be 39 through 42. I'm going to read this one from the NLT. And this is about the Samaritan woman. So starting at verse 39. "Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, He told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." So I don't want to read that whole story, but, you know, because most of you probably know about the Samaritan woman, you know, she was at the well and Jesus asked her to give her, you know, give him something to drink. And, you know, he goes back and forth with her. And we don't know her name other than she's called the Samaritan woman. Yet, again, this is somebody who Jesus saw, you know. Wherever she was in her life, he saw. And then because of that, he used her. And then many people here became Christians, believed on Jesus Christ because of her. And so, you know, we don't know what her name is, yet Jesus saw her and he used her. And so that's what was encouraging about Colin Conan's devotional, though, is that, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. You may not think you're much of anything. You know, you may look down on yourself. Well, you got to see you the way God sees you. And how does God see you? He sees you through the eyes of Jesus Christ. He sees you set free, made whole, delivered, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so you got to see yourself that way. You got to see yourself through the eyes of God. But not only that, that's how you need to see other people. That person that's over there that everybody casts down and looks down on, well, you got to see them as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know. They're the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. Everything they put their hands to prospers. You know, they're a child of God. And so that's why I encourage you today is that no matter what you're going through, you know, you see yourself as a child of God. Or if you know of somebody else who needs it, you know, maybe you just reach out the hand and, you know, you help them up and lift them up, you know, because they have a new name in Jesus Christ. So that is all I have.
Amen. You receive that? I know sometimes it can be also where people have told you who you are and it's not the truth. They may have said something that made you feel like you're not worthy of being a person at all. That you're not worthy of being loved or you're not worthy of being cared for. But you are. You are. That's each and every one of you are important to Jesus, whether you realize it or not. That is the most important thing. That's the reason why he came. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to talk about gentleness. So in the fruit of the Spirit, we've gone through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and now we're going to do gentleness. Gentleness in the King James also is meekness. And the reason why I'm doing gentleness is because meekness and gentleness go together hand in hand, just like kindness and goodness, okay? So I'm going to share the definitions of both. And before I do that, I just got to thinking, you know, why is it so important to have gentleness? You know, like we as Christians, you know, we get into all we want to do is focus on the spiritual warfare and the battle and make sure we're strong in the Lord. And sometimes I think we forget what we're even fighting for. Yeah. We forget, you know, like when men and women go off to war, you know what keeps them fighting is knowing who they're fighting for. Knowing that they have a family at home, that they love and they care about. And they are precious to them, and they are willing to lay their lives down to make sure that that family, our family here, has freedom. Isn't that amazing? So in this spiritual warfare and in this battle, what's really important is that we realize that we know what we're fighting for, that we know that we love each other and that God loves us, and that's why we are gentle and kind and good to each other. Amen? So gentleness, it means meekness, sweetness of disposition, mildness of temper, softness of manners, tenderness, attentiveness, responsiveness, graciousness. And meekness means forbearance under injuries and provocations, humility, resignation, submission to the divine will, without murmuring or peevishness, opposed to pride, arrogance, and refractoriness. A lot of those are probably bigger words than normal because this is from the Webster's, by the way. And I also want to share with you the opposite meanings of gentleness, okay? So the antonyms are hardness, sternness, rigidity, harshness, severity, callousness, pitilessness, insensitivity, unpleasantness, irritability, thoughtlessness, hostility, contrariness, and stubbornness. And so the biggest thing to get from all of these definitions is without love, you cannot have gentleness. Without love, you cannot have meekness. Without love, you cannot be humble. You don't know how to interact with others without the love of God. Amen. So Jesus, this is how he was. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to start at verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you guys ever noticed that it's not fun to be around somebody who is full of pride? When all they do is talk about themselves and it's all about themselves, you know, like according to the world, when you meet someone like that, they're like, "Oh, that person's just egotistical or conceited or something along those lines." You know, those are the modern day ego things, right? And so we, in general, most of us don't really like to be around people like that. They demand your attention so much that it's like, "Oh my gosh, that's a little too much for me." And so you automatically don't want to be around them. You automatically, they're not your best friend. They're not the person you would rather work with, you know? And so it's easy to understand that you don't want to be around somebody who's full of pride. But what if that happens to you? What if you're the person that's full of pride and you don't even realize it? And you wonder why people don't want to be around you? Or why don't people want to talk to you very much? What is in your heart? What are you considering? You know, Jesus, in the Bible, it says that all of these multitudes constantly thronged him and wanted to be around him. That's because he was meek and he was lowly, but also he was full of love. And that just attracts people. When you are so full of the love of God, people want to be around you. They want to spend time with you, right? They're like, "Man, I want whatever it is that's inside of that person, I want to be like that. I want people to want to be around me for who I am and not that I have to pretend to be something else," right? So I want you to turn to Matthew 23. And this is Jesus, the whole entire chapter is all about, it's called "The Woes Upon the Pharisees." And it's Jesus just basically chewing them out for being full of pride and hypocrisy. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do encourage you, sometimes it's good to know what pride is so that you don't get into it yourself. Amen. So I encourage you to go back and read this whole chapter, but specifically, I'm going to read verse 12. "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And there's another verse where Jesus says, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." These are really, really important, because walking in gentleness is really walking in humility. It's really walking in understanding who you are as a person compared to other people. It's not all about you. You know, and that's one time I read this book, and it was something about attitudes. I can't remember. Miss Shirley and I read it when I was a teenager. And the very beginning of the book, it says, "It's not all about you." And I remember thinking, because I'm a teenager, and you know how teenagers are. We think everything is about us, you know. I'm thinking, "Oh, really? Okay. That was a shock," you know? And now I think about it and think, boy, I was a dumb teenager, you know? Like, geez, that's embarrassing. But at the time, it really was a revelation to me to think, it's not all about me, you know? And And that was a big, huge change of heart for me, because I felt like I was full of haughtiness. I was full of selfishness. And so I didn't understand all the time when people didn't want to meet every need that I had, when they didn't want to give me all the attentions that I thought I deserved, you know? And so because I lived my life out of not being gentle and humble, not being kind and good, I lived out of what could others do for me, you know? And that was a dangerous place to be in, because I got into so much pride in myself that when I got humbled, boy, it was humbling. It was very humbling. And it, you know, it says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The higher you go, the harder you fall. I will tell you that now. So learn humbleness now. Learn from Jesus how much he loves you and how important you are to him. Then you'll understand how important others are to him, right? Sometimes, you know, Pastor used to say this all the time. If you don't love yourself, you will never be able to love others. And that's where it starts. And sometimes people take that as, well, if I love myself, then I'm conceited, or I'm only thinking about myself. But you're not. You have to know that God made you unique and special and created you just for a certain purpose. Amen? And if you believe that you are nothing, then you are taking the good that God created and saying, God, you didn't do a good enough job. You made me, but I'm not worthy to even be here. I'm not worthy to even exist because I don't deserve it. I can't handle this life and nobody loves me, so I don't deserve it. But you do. What God created was good, and you are good. He created good, okay? So it doesn't mean that sometimes we do bad things, and sometimes that's rough, right? We go through times where we have to repent. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that God created us to be good. Amen? What are you doing for the Lord right now in your life? Are you living from the fruits of the Spirit? Are you living from his Spirit and knowing him? Or are you living from the ideas and the perceptions of the world of who you are? Do you look at the world and do you see yourself through the world's eyes? Or do you look at yourself through who God created you to be? Think about that. Amen. Without gentleness and meekness, it can be easy to fall into pride. And this is where gentleness is so important. Amen. Depending on how and where you grew up, meekness could have been taught to you to a certain degree by your parents, right? Some parents are just wonderful, meek people, and they teach their children those qualities. But sometimes we never learn that. And even after being a Christian, it takes time to truly learn that meekness. Amen? So I want to encourage you, if you are feeling like people don't really want to be around you or they don't want to talk to you much, then maybe you should check your love in your heart. Amen? That is probably the hardest thing for people to do, is to humble themselves and ask God, you know, what's really going on in my life? What's really happening in my heart? Amen? When you were a child, the gentleness of your parents helps you understand how much they love you, right? But if they were a little tough and they were like kind of hard on you, you know, some of us had parents that were really hard on us. We almost get to the point where we think that they didn't love us, right? And sometimes we can take that through our lives and think that because our parents treated us that way, that we can treat others that way. Or we think that, and I'm not going to say that your parents were good or not good, okay? That's for you to decide. But quite often, parents think that they're trying to prepare their children for the hard things in life, and so they're hard on their children because they don't want their children to be just little wimps that just give in to everything. So they're really hard on their children not realizing that sometimes you can be so hard that you forget the love of God for your children. You know, like it says in, Paul talks about how fathers, you have to be careful how you talk to your children, because sometimes it can be so harsh and so hard that they forget that they're loved. And even God himself, even if he would, his wrath would fall upon different people, he always loved people, and he would turn his heart and have mercy. And that's where we have to realize that sometimes there are people in our lives who have been hard on us, and it's easy to take those things as parents getting so hard on us that they don't love us. But don't let that affect your life. Amen. Don't let that tear you down, because in reality, you don't know what your parents have gone through or what they have thought when they were getting on to you. You don't know what is in their heart. Maybe they're trying to prepare you for something, and that's the only way they know how. Amen. But just know that even if your parents are the worst parents in the world, you have the best Father in heaven. Amen. So don't let how your parents treated you or the things that they've said to you ruin your life. Amen. Don't let things that they have gone through determine how you end up. Amen. All right. And I'm telling you, as a parent, when you become a parent, you see how much your parents have done, and you see that differently too. You appreciate your parents as you get older, and you think, oh man, when I was a kid, I was a bad kid. How did my parents put up with me? You know, so you see things differently. All right, so I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 24. And this is talking about humility. And as you're turning there, I want to read Psalm 33:18 to you. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." And the word contrite, it means broken hearted for sin, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God, humble, penitent. Amen. God cares about you, especially when you have a humble heart. He is close to you. He understands that in you, you really don't want to be that way. You really don't want to sin. You really don't want to fall into pride. You don't really want to be that way inside of you. But God himself can also change you from the inside. Amen? Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And you know, it's easy when you see somebody who is full of pride, when you see somebody who is not living right, it is easy to say, man, you just need to repent and get your life straight and turn your heart over to God. It's really easy to just want to chew a person out, right? But if you don't do it, like in verse 25, where it says, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, they may not readily receive what you have for them." Amen. Sometimes a harsh rebuke is necessary. It is necessary. But if a person's ears are not attentive to hearing the word and actually being humbled, then you can say something and it'll just fall on dry ground. It won't actually produce fruit in their lives. And so that's why Jesus says, "In meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves." In meekness. Amen. So when you need to tell someone, hey, you're not living right. Hey, I have seen what you're doing and it is not right. The Bible says you shouldn't be living this way. Unless their hearts are open to the Holy Spirit, they will not receive what you are saying. But as you are talking to them, if you are leaning on the Holy Spirit to use what you are saying to tell that person that you truly care about them and love them, then at first they may not like what you're saying, but they will receive it. And it is in that reception, in that receiving of that rebuke in their lives, that they will actually grow. And that is most important. Amen. I know that in my life, there have been times where I have not liked discipline. I have not liked it. But God has used those times of discipline to humble me and to show me, hey, it's not all about you. Amen. And because I received that, it helped me grow. It helped me become a better person. It helped me see things through His eyes and not all the time through my own selfishness, right? Because oftentimes it's easy to get what we call horse blinders, where, you know, horses run a race and they close everything off and they only see one thing and that's all they go for. And so they don't see everything else that's going on in their lives. They don't even really see the ground. And so when a horse trips, they're gone. And the rider's gone with him. In your life, if you are so focused on yourself and you're so focused on what can God do for me, what can other people do for me, you will not get anywhere. At some point in your life, you will fall and it will be hard and it will be harsh and you will not enjoy that consequence. But if you humble yourself and you repent, then you will enjoy it. Amen. You will enjoy that, hey, I fell, but God lifted me back up. Amen. Acts 3:19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. A humble person full of meekness and gentleness is a beautiful person to be around, because in their heart, they have a repentant heart. Everybody remember what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. There are a lot of hearts that need to be refreshed, a lot of hearts that need to be changed, and they need to be contrite, knowing that God is the only one who can save them. And I am not just saying this as for others, but I'm saying this for myself. Each and every day, I don't want to just go through my life and look at everybody else and what they're doing and what they're going through, what they're doing wrong. You know, the first thing I want to do is, God, what is going on in my heart? What have I been doing that has been wrong? What have I been doing that has been turning me away from you? Lord, check my heart first. Before I walk out this door in the morning, what is it that's going on in my heart that's pulling me away from you? What is it that's going on in my heart that's making me not love others? What is it that's going on in my heart that is taking all of my attention and I'm not giving you any of me? I do that first and foremost. And there are some days where I get so caught up in life that I forget to do that. And I notice that there becomes a problem in my life. And I start to realize there is something missing. And that's because I have not done the very first thing that God says in the Ten Commandments. Worship the Lord your God first. Have no other gods before me. And what I've done, and we all do this, and it's something that I don't even think we realize we do, but it's just an automatic thing. You get up in the morning and you get ready for whatever you're going to, work, school, whatever, you're taking care of things. And before you know it, you've gone a whole morning without acknowledging the Creator and acknowledging that He's the one that woke you up that morning. If it wasn't for God, some of us might not even wake up in the morning. Amen. And so sometimes we get to where we fall into that it's all about me, and you wake up in the morning and it's all about you. But let me challenge you with this. In the morning when you first wake up, you know, the Jews, they do this thing and they automatically say it when they first wake up in the morning, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe." And I can't remember how it goes. It's something like, "You have woken me and refreshed me." And basically, God is the one who has picked you up out of bed and given you that breath in that morning. And so being thankful and grateful when you wake up in the morning sets your countenance for the rest of the day. It sets your heart for the rest of the day. Because when you put all of your attention on God first, then you see everything else through the eyes of love. Because love has to be received and given in order to be acted upon. Amen. How many of you find it difficult when you're going through a hard time that it is hard to love others? When people are criticizing you, when people are saying you need to do this and you need to do that, it's hard to think about, well, how come everybody is chewing me out and you don't know what's going on? And you're like, how come nobody loves me? And how come nobody cares about me or sees what I'm going through? It's really easy to get into that and think, well, nobody really cares about me. So, but obviously it must be their problem, right? So we don't think about what's going on in our lives or that we need to be humbled. Automatically, we think there's something else going on with that person, you know, or those people. Or, you know, so we automatically revert everything onto other people. And that's not how God is. You know, Jesus says, when he said in Matthew, I think it's, which one was it? Let me read real quick. Matthew 11, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Let me tell you that when you're full of pride and all of those things are full of selfishness and all of those things of the world are baggaged onto you and you're taking all that on yourself, it is really, really hard to walk in humility. It is really, really hard to walk in love. Amen. And oftentimes we think, well, I have to humble myself and I can do this myself. I can change myself. You know, I can be a better person if I would just walk in humility. And so again, we think that it's all about us changing, but it's not. And just like I went through all the other fruits of the Spirit, one thing about gentleness to remember and meekness is that it comes from your spirit. Amen. It may be something that you think you can change yourself and you can become that way just by altering your behavior. But just because you change your behavior doesn't mean that you truly have a meek and lowly heart. Amen. Jesus actually had a meek and lowly heart. That's why he said, "Learn of me." When you become a new creation and a new creature, you don't just look at it like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can be this way. I can choose to be humble. No, it's that God creates that in you, and that's who you become. It's who Jesus becomes and creates in you to be. Amen. And that's where I think a lot of us as Christians, we get into that religious spirit of, I can do this and I can do that. Just like in Matthew 23, Jesus goes through all of these things that the Pharisees are doing because they're like, they look great and they pray openly in the street and they're just full of religion. And you think, well, these are the best, greatest people. And they're not, because in their hearts, they're not truly changed. They're only cleaning the outside. And that's where gentleness, you can't just try to just be meek and gentle and humble on the outside. You truly have to let the Holy Spirit change you from the inside. Amen. Walking in love is not something that you can just say, okay, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to be this way. No, you have to say, yes, God, change me. Yes, God, make me new. I cannot do this without you. I cannot love others without you. I cannot be humble without you. I can't do it without you. You have to acknowledge that you can't do it without him. Because if you don't acknowledge that, you will never be humble. You will never be humble. If you cannot say, Jesus is the one doing this for me, Jesus is the one who changed my life, you will never be changed. You will always think that it's you that is changing yourself. You will always think that you are the one who is being a better person. You'll think that it's you who is correcting your behavior, and you who got clean of drugs and alcohol or any of these other things that are going on in our lives. We think addiction is, we did that, you know, that we got set free from that. We changed the desire of our hearts. We did this. But no, the number one thing about being a Christian is that we acknowledge that we can't be saved without Jesus. None of these fruits of the Spirit are possible without the Spirit being alive in us. Amen? So I just want to encourage you today, as Christians and as the people of the Lord, what is going on in your heart? What is going on in your thinking? Are your hearts becoming like Jesus? Are you humble enough to say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I honestly don't know how to love these people in my life. I don't know how to change this part of my life. I don't know even what the next step holds for my life. But Jesus, you know. You know what's going on. You know what I need. And therefore, I will submit to you. Amen. It says in the word, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. That very first thing is humbling yourself before the Lord, saying, yes, God, I want to live for you. Yes, God, I want to give you everything that's in me, every single thing. I want to serve you 100% because I know I can't do this on my own. Amen. You will notice that you go through life and sometimes things seem okay. You know, you're just going through the motions and everything is fine. And you're enjoying life and you think, oh, there's nothing really wrong. And then something happens and it just changes everything. Whether it's some kind of trauma or some kind of pain in your life or somebody hurts you terribly, whatever it is humbling and it gets you to realize, wow, I do need Jesus 100%. I thought I was doing okay and I'm not. I need him 100%. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, don't wait until that moment comes to realize you need him. Every day when you wake up in the morning, every night when you go to sleep, acknowledge to Jesus that you need him, that you need his love. You need that relationship with him to be 100%, not artificial, not fake, but real. Amen? Okay, you can go ahead and stand. And I just want to encourage you, when I was coming in today, I was praying about different things, and I just got to thinking, you know, sometimes we get into this rut of monotony, you know, and we come to church, and it's like this, sometimes it can seem like the same thing over and over again. You go to work all week, you go to church on Sunday, and it can be like you're just doing the same thing all the time, and nothing is changing. But let me tell you that Jesus did the same thing quite often. He would go to the temple on the weekend and on Sabbath, and he would talk and minister, and then he would do different things during the week. And so sometimes it's like, you know, we can go to church and we can go to our lives at work, and it can seem like it's just monotonous. But just ask God to show you, God, where are the special things that are hiding, that the devil has hidden from me? Show me those special things. Show me those special moments that will help me appreciate this life that you have blessed me with, this family, these people, these coworkers, whatever it is. When you see things through the eyes of Jesus, it will help you appreciate why you're even here. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here who is just going through a really hard time right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that the Holy Spirit would encourage your heart. In Jesus' name, that Jesus would touch your heart, that he would strengthen your faith. In Jesus' name, those who are sick right now, I pray that you are healed by Jesus' stripes. In Jesus' name, those of you who are about to make big decisions in your life and you are wondering, God, what is it that I am supposed to do right now? In Jesus' name, I pray that that wisdom in Jesus' name be revealed to your heart, that word of knowledge be revealed to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for each and every person here. I pray that you would bless them and that you would most of all draw them close to you, Jesus. Open up their hearts to you to receive your plan and your purpose for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You are dismissed.